Do you know what it will entice you to clean? If your house smells like a beach afterward and it doesn't smell like, you know, cleaning products. Well, enter Clorox. They can transform your space into a tropical getaway by upgrading your cleaning routine with coconut-scented Clorox Scentiva. It smells like coconut, it cleans like Clorox, and it feels like inspiration. With a refreshing scent that will leave your home clean and fresh, elevating any room into an oasis. Now you can express your style and get shiny clean. Get Clorox Scentiva at a nearby retail store, also available in grapefruit or lavender scents.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do. And start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Ben and Ashley I Almost Famous Podcast with iHeartRadio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Almost Famous Podcast. I am joined by Ben, who literally goes on an airplane and stops at a new city every week.
Yeah,
do cool. You guys want to hear about Ben's travels? Because I know we talk about it every week, but like, I'm truly mind boggled how somebody flies around as often and how many different foundations you're involved with.
Well, that's very nice. I was just actually, so last time we talked, I had gotten back from Ohio. And then Jessica and I, which is very nice because I don't always get to travel with my wife. We just got back from Baltimore. We went to Baltimore this weekend because, as I've mentioned many times, and I can't mention it enough, my best friend was diagnosed with ALS. And so this was his big fundraiser in Baltimore because his wife was a Baltimore Ravens cheerleader. And so the Baltimore Ravens do a lot to make the event special. And so Jessica and I flew out for that this year for the Conley cause. If you want to still support, you can still do that at their GoFundMe page or visit them on Instagram. But it was really cool. So we did a quick trip out there and now I'm home for a week. And it's weird when a week feels like a long time, but it does. Feels
What's
like a long
the next
time.
Trip for?
I am going to Nashville for a Humanity and Hope United. If anybody wants to join, it's open to the public fundraiser in Nashville next week. And so we have a couple board meetings and then a fundraiser. So I'll be there for that. But yeah, It's open to the public. And we have like a really good, in fact, she's very well known, an incredible chef. Manit is, I think it's Chuhan is how you say her name. She's like all over the Food Network.
I know who you're talking about. You know what's so weird?
What?
There's a girl that works at Audrey's who has an internship there at her restaurant in Nashville that she's leaving us in a couple months to go
No
to.
Way. Yeah. I guess she's incredible. I've never had her food, obviously. I know her from television, but she's coming to do the food at the event. So that's going to be super fun. I'm super pumped for that.
Very cool.
Ben. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you have any high tips for us when it comes to the airport? Like, do uh-huh. you like you must have some advanced knowledge. I thought that I got on planes a lot, but like,
yeah.
What do you do? Obviously pre-check and then do you have clear and pre-check?
Oh, well, yes, I have both, but these days I just go through the pre-check line because Clear has backed up. Everybody got Clear. I don't know why and where and how. Some credit card must have done some type of promotion because everybody has it, and that line's longer usually and takes longer than pre-check. Yeah.
It's because they say, like, you're like, oh, if the line's long, we can help you get through that right now, today. Just sign up right here. So that's why, you know, that's why I think so many people have Clear now. That's why you need to have Clear plus pre-check, because that's a whole new line now.
Yeah, it's a great line. It's a good line. Here's my tips. I'll run through. We, you know, a few years ago we did a segment called Ben Bitches. It was awesome.
God, I missed it.
Yeah, I miss it too. Not
did
as
it
mad.
Get people down or something?
Is no, that we just ran out of things to get mad about. I don't know. You know, we stopped that because I couldn't come up with anything else that I was upset about. Most of my irritability comes from the airport. And so I'm going to start with my three tips to just make everybody's lives easier at the airport. Okay. My first one, very obvious one for most people. When you're on an airplane, you exit by rows, typically front to back. Sometimes there's like an exit in the middle. And you wait till the person in front of you, no matter how slow they are, no matter how lazy they are or old they are, so it takes them a while to get out, you wait for them to leave. Like, that's just going to help everybody's process. And then you go find your bag, you get your bag, and you walk off. The second thing, when you're at baggage claim, don't stand up by the baggage claim. It's ridiculous. Nobody can get their bag. And so when I pull my heavy bag off with one arm and I hit you with this bag because you're 1 foot away from the belt, I don't feel bad. I don't want to hurt you. It's not a goal of mine to make somebody cry that day. However, back up a little bit off the belt so that everybody can get their bag. And you, when you see your bag, you walk up at the perfect time, grab your bag, you leave. It just helps everybody out. The next, my final tip before I go into my tips at the airport, because I do have a couple, would be try...
Wait, this is bad. What if this isn't tips at the airport?
Well, these are just things you shouldn't do. These are very obvious things you should not do. Airport manners. My final tip, it's not really a manners thing. It's just a helpful thing. You're going to feel better. Try not to eat on the plane. Our bodies don't really digest food well that high up in the sky with that much altitude and that like kind of little air. And so try to eat before you get on your plane, if you can. Grab some food. And then like nuts and stuff like that are fine that you can process them pretty easily. But if you eat a big meal on the plane and you're always wondering why you feel so bloated and like stuck, like swollen and tired when you get off the plane, it's because your body is like having food just sit in its stomach for as long as that flight is. You'll just feel better. Okay. Stay hydrated too.
Those are answers. Those are some life answers for me.
Yeah. Maybe the most important thing I can tell you about flying. Maybe my best tip for flying. I live in Denver, Colorado. Denver, Colorado, people would argue with me. I think it has a great airport. It's a creepy airport, but it's a good airport. I don't know what it is about Denver, Colorado's airport bathrooms, but they smell awful and they hold in the smell. Like, it smells like people have done terrible things in that bathroom for 10 years and it's just still like circulating around and it's a little humid in there. So you feel like it's like sticking on your skin. The smell it's awful. My point to this is find the best bathroom. Where would the best bathroom be? Look for where nobody goes. Possibly it's a closed terminal. Possibly it's a closed gate.
Wait, what? We're going to walk around looking for a bathroom that doesn't have humidity and stink?
Well, just that it doesn't get used that often. Yeah, you want one that's been cleaned and not used because they're going to still clean it. And so where would those be? You say, okay, this sounds very hard. It sounds like it's going to be take me a long time to find this. No, it's not. What you do is you walk to the very end of the terminal, like as far down as you can. Find the farthest bathroom from that main entrance of the airport because the only people going down there are people with flights. It's not like the people who are eating and drinking and the like common areas are going to be going to those bathrooms. Find the one farthest away. It's going to be the best for you. You're going to have the best experience. It's going to be the cleanest. They typically don't get used.
This is for a number two because I'm not
taking, anything. Yeah, whatever you want.
First off, you're standing when you pee, so why do you care about it all?
Good point. Well, just because, just because the sanitation. My final thing, Ashley, I'll close you here, and most of it goes around bathrooms, is don't bring, you know what really grosses me out? Like, it grosses me out when I don't see people wash their hands leaving the bathroom, because of, especially today, you know, no matter what you feel about the vaccine or the boosters, with COVID exists, you know, flu exists, disease exists, and airports are a place that it exists at a pretty high volume.
I'll just say that sometimes I will leave and use hand sanitizer.
I mean,
sometimes there's something about the, like, sometimes you're washing your hands and then you realize there's no soap left.
Yeah.
I hate wet hands with no soap. There's just some weird mentality.
Yeah.
Mental thing.
I get it. That's fine. Just clean your hands. That's really it. Just clean your hands. So I can understand, like, I can get over the fact that maybe you didn't wash your hands was my point, because maybe you are leaving and using sanitizer. That's okay with me. Yeah. Here's the thing that I don't want to see anybody do ever. Okay. Ever. Mm-hmm. And people might get mad at me for this. That's okay. I'm calling you out right now. You know who you are. Do not bring your open lid, like, drinks into the bathroom, like a coffee or
gross.
Straw smoothie or something like that. Leave it outside. Don't buy it until after you've done what you need to do. It's disgusting. It is. It's not good for you. You should. I'm not saying it's disgusting for me. I'll get over it. I just saw it happen. It doesn't affect me. But what it does do is, I care about your health, and I don't want to see you sipping on something that has also been inside of a closed space with a bunch of random strangers doing whatever they're doing in there. It's not worth it for you. You're better than that.
You got to go and, like, look at a YouTube video or something to see how much the water particles and the germ particles spread once you hit that flush.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
It's
so
pretty gross.
Just listen to those tips. You're going to have a better experience in the bathroom. And you're going to have a better experience in the airport in general. And your travel is going to be a lot easier. And also, try not to check a bag. Just bring a bag with you on the plane if you can. It makes it so much faster.
Okay, but Ben, I have a few things to make comments of based on all of that. You said that the Denver airport is creepy. Mm-hmm. I like it because it has a great food selection.
It sure does.
Especially in that United terminal, which I think is the only one I've ever been in, because it's, like, such a huge hub.
Yeah.
Now, there's two reasons why it's creepy. There's, like, this weird horse you want to tell everybody with the weird eyes as you enter, and nobody knows, like, what it is. People are like, Illuminati.
Yeah. So I don't know if you know this yet, but our restaurants are going up in the Denver airport.
That's amazing.
I can't say what terminal yet. That's still a secret, but they're going up here in the next few months. So you can come visit some of our favorites at Culinary Creative. Little shout out.
Too cool. Yeah.
So now Denver did a whole renovation. Some people, this will be boring. I'll go through this quick because you don't fly. Now, as decoration, they've put gargoyles up on some of the pillars in the airport, which just makes it weirder.
That makes it so much weirder. They're just leaning in.
They're leaning in. And I think they're leaning in because there are some creepy things about the airport. And they think that if they just make it a big joke, nobody will continue to ask questions. But there are some weird things. You should watch a YouTube video to get fully caught up on, like, underground, like, bunkers and weird paintings and odd...
Just to simplify for people, they say that, like, the Denver airport is basically constructed for, like, the end of the world. Like, there's a few people and, like, will be able to, like, get access and, like, live down there. And then there's, like, CIA headquarters, some sort of headquarters is down there. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they say there's, like, a prison. So if people, like, act out during that apocalyptic time, they can be held at the bottom of the Denver airport. But the folk tale or the real story, it matters who you talk to, is we have a big old blue horse when you drive into our airports with red eyes. Multiple people have been killed during the setup of this horse. So the horse actually fell over.
Really?
Yeah. The story is that it fell over and killed the architect and the designer of this structure. And that's why it's so weird. But it has red eyes. And so no matter what, even if it never hurt anybody, it's still a very odd structure. It stands out. Nobody drives past it and goes, wow, that's just a beautiful, normal looking horse. It looks like it has red glaring eyes.
It looks demonic.
It looks demonic. So that's really what we're known for. That's why we live on the opposite side of town of the airport. We're just as far away from that as we can be. But yeah, those are my tips for flying and traveling. I've gotten better at it over the years. Ashley, to drastically switch topics, I need your help. Mm-hmm. Okay. Drastically switch topics. I need your help about something personal in my life that I'm struggling with.
I feel like it has to do with the dog.
It does. Yesterday, I took Waylon on a walk. Okay. He was running. It was really windy here. He was running after things. And all of a sudden he ran after a leaf and barely missed getting hit by a car. And I am not okay. Like my heart hurts. Like my, I have like trauma. Now he's fine, right? He didn't get hit, but like I had to pull him back and I luckily saw the car coming through the corner of my eye and I pulled him back. Everything's fine. But just that moment in general shook me. Like I didn't sleep last night. Jessica knew that. I haven't stopped thinking about it. He's probably confused on why I keep hugging him and just like leaning in. So my question in general for the audience and for you is how do you get like, am I crazy one for having like some like post traumatic stress from this? Two, if I'm not crazy from it, but it's happening in general. So even if it's a weird thing that I am, I need your help. How do you get through these things? Like how do you in life have something traumatic happen to you? Big or small, and then how do you move on through it and continue with life and not have that like affect your dreams and affect your sleep and affect your normal day?
Okay, first off, you're definitely not crazy for that, but I have a follow-up question. Like, why'd you let the leash go so far?
It's one of those stretchy leashes. We're in our neighborhood and I didn't see any cars coming. Like we were walking in our street and typically normal neighbors, when they see a dog and a person walking, they stop behind you until like you see them. And then they're like, go past once you get like control. This car did not.
Oh, okay. I always have her on a tight leash because she's a wild woman.
Yeah, I'm about to. I think that's what I'm going to do. I think it's no longer free reign for my buddy.
Yeah. Yeah. And secondly, I think it's hilarious that you're just like so obsessed and in love with Waylon when I would talk about Lois like this obviously for years and you'd be like, okay, you love your dog. Okay. Dogs are awesome. I don't have a dog. I don't get it. And now you get it.
Yeah, he's my buddy.
It's hilarious.
He's my buddy.
Then thirdly, to answer your question, man, I wish I, this is like so almost obnoxious of me to say, and I hate saying it out loud, but I can't remember like a moment of trauma.
But even with Dawson,
weird... a moment where you get scared. Like I have intrusive thoughts with Dawson. Okay. Yeah. So that's like a little bit different. Like yesterday I dropped him off at my in-laws for like 2 hours so I can get my nails done. And I knew that they were going to take him for a walk. So I just like so nonchalantly, like, you know, handed him off to them and I was like, okay, I'm leaving. And then as soon as I'm pulling out, I'm thinking, okay, what if they are starting to, what if they go on a walk with him and there's a distracted driver and they hit this car seat, his stroller?
Yeah.
That's my immediate thought. And then I totally freak myself out because I know an intrusive thought, but at the same time, it could be so realistic.
That's my fear with being a parent because I have a lot of those just today about Jessica, about my family, about my friends, about my dog. Like I feel like a lot of my day fighting these intrusive thoughts and I don't know a lot about it. And so maybe it'd be helpful for us, Ashley, to bring somebody onto our podcast and talk with us about this stuff. Like just what do people do? Because I'm sure we're not the only ones. I mean,
no, I don't think so at all.
Listeners, please tell us if we're the only ones who ever have these kind of thoughts pop in, but they happen to me often and they're at times like very suffocating.
Oh yeah. And then I'm almost done with my nails and I text my mother-in-law and I see how he's doing. I'll be like, I'm going to be leaving here in 20 minutes. And she didn't respond.
Yeah.
So I obviously start thinking scary things. And I had to look at Find My Friends to make sure that she was at home and not at the ER.
Mm.
So this is how it is leaving your child.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very, very common. I also think it's something I've been doing my entire life. It's way harder and scarier when you have a kid. And I think it's just becoming more of a conversation topic. Like we're kind of like just now admitting to like all these thoughts that we have throughout the day that are dooming.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a topic I think I want to explore here at the Almost Famous podcast.
Sure,
I think
I'd love to. A little offbeat for us, but I'm down.
Hey, we know we're about spiritual.
It's an off-season topic for sure.
We're about spiritual health, mental health, physical health, and the bachelor's health, which we have to talk about now, right after this break. We're going to jump in to breaking down this week's episode of The Bachelor and the health of our bachelor, who,
good transition.
Maybe wasn't as healthy this episode. We'll be back right after this.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the diaper stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...with zero qualifications...
She had a Harvard plaque.
...tricks her way past a wall of lawyers and agents.
She's got all of these Maseratis and Bentleys all in the driveway.
Is it like a mansion?
Yes, it's a mansion. ...that this queen of the con uses to scam some of the biggest names in professional sports out of untold fortunes.
About $6 million.
Approximately $11 million.
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
Employing whatever means necessary to bleed her victims dry.
She would probably have sex with one of her clients.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Ben, You ready to dive into the episode finally? Sorry if you guys got tired of our ramble. I don't think they did.
Okay, I think they liked it. Yeah, they enjoyed that.
They liked it. We'll make up their mind for them. Yeah. All right. So I liked this episode, actually. I was fully engaged and it was very exciting for me. I know we were rough on him a couple weeks ago. I'm finding him to be, I'm finding the past couple weeks have gotten more intriguing for me. And I will begin with Gabby's date. Gabby's one-on-one. I love Gabby's one-on-one. It was the ultimate. It was the date. It was my dream date. This was my dream bachelor date. It's a little princess oriented, which if you watched my season, you know that I was very jealous of one of my very good friends, Jade, because she got a princess date. And I knew that they may have done that. Well, they knew they were going to get a reaction out of me if they didn't put me on that date. And the guy didn't like me enough to put me on a one-on-one, and that's okay. But they also knew the right person to put on the date with Jade, which is like who she's like just a natural princess. And they knew that Greer in this case was going to want this date probably the most because of the subject matter, because apparently she loves tea so much that she tattooed it on her head, like her wrist. Intense. That's an intense love for tea. But they also were like, we're not giving it to her. And apparently, according to the girls and maybe Zach, the girls say that Zach has been making sure that each girl goes on a date that is best suited for their personality. Ben, I need to know, how much do you choose a girl because of the subject matter of the date? Like, come on.
I mean,
this is your selection this week. You can choose from these girls to take on the date.
No, how it works is this. You just get back home from a group date or you just got into your city and the producers come in and they say. So I'll tell you the whole process. So they say, OK, here's what's going on this week. And you say, OK, great. Who do you want to bring on these dates? And you kind of think and you go, okay, I just brought this person on a date last week, even though I'd love for her to come back with me on this date. I'm interested in this person. And you say, okay, I would like to bring her on this date. Right. And then they will either say that's a good idea or, hey, that's not a good idea. Sometimes they'll say, you know, next week you have that really cool date where you're going to go on a helicopter ride to a vineyard and that girl actually loves wine. So maybe you should bring somebody else on the date this week and bring them on a date next week where you know they're going to love that even more. The problem there is you're going to have to convince them that you still like them because they haven't gone on a one-on-one and it's week six. Yeah. And so are you cool with that? So there is a conversation. And I would say it would be great to give Zach all the credit that he has perfectly picked these dates for each individual woman. That can't be true because you don't always know like how great a date's going to be the next week. Here's what I'm not convinced of. The show is so good. The producer is so good at convincing you that the thought was your own that I don't know if they already know who's going on this date before you do. And you've just somehow now told them, yeah, that's the person that's going to go. I don't know. I feel like sometimes you're kind of convinced in a really good creative way, but you do have say. So if he's intentional about making sure these dates are specific for each individual woman, that's awesome. I just think he couldn't do that the whole season because ultimately,
right?
It just doesn't work out that way.
Okay. So I love this date for obvious reasons. She got to wear a crown. She got to play with corgis. She got to experience like royal life. Trying on those dresses, so fun. I also loved his reaction to her in the dress. It was so adorable. Like I think I actually audibly said aw. And let's see what else. The perfume thing, creating a perfume fitted for like a royal or yourself, was kind of an awesome interaction. It was kind of like a fun activity. It was something that you could like have banter with, I think. And what else? Everything about that date, like step by step, there was something interesting that they were doing and it played with where they were. I just think that it was a great date in getting to know somebody's personality, like get your flirt on, you know?
I do know. So a couple notes here, Ashley, to kick it off. I'm surprised that you like this episode, especially with kind of the what we felt like was the slowness of the first couple episodes. Like I'm surprised when I talked to you today that you sat down, you're like, I really like this episode. I expected you to be more on the side of that was just a weird 2 hours that could have been like,
no.
I saw a funny tweet that said this could have been all done in email. Like it, cause it was so much virtually. So it's interesting to me. We'll get into that later. I also just want to note for my own pride that I did mention since week one that I felt like Greer was going to go home earlier than expected and that it wasn't going to work out like we think it would. I actually said it last week.
She's still there.
She's still there. I get that. But can we start to now see that maybe, just maybe, she's not a top three or a top four in the eyes of Zach?
Okay, for sure.
Okay.
For sure she's hanging by a thread. What I liked about this episode was that I truly didn't know how it was going to play out in two ways. One, we didn't stick with, you know, we weren't going to be able to stick with the formula with him being sick. So it was kind of like, what are they going to do? How are they going to work this out? And that was keeping me interested. Yeah. And then it was also the fact that I had no idea who he was going to eliminate, especially come that cocktail party, that digital cocktail party, because it seemed like he was driving with everyone except for Greer. And yeah. I will admit, I thought Greer was going to be gone because I couldn't even think of anyone else to eliminate there. I was like, possibly Mercedes, but I thought
we just hadn't seen much of her. Yeah, we just hadn't seen much of her. This episode did bring us, I think, that what will go down is one of the most iconic comedic scenes in Bachelor history. At least it was for me. I was laughing really hard at somebody else's expense, which...
Who?
I loved when Gabby was walking through with all of her shopping bags and Greer was sitting in front of her room. I thought that was hilarious. Like the fact that Greer got hit by a bag as Gabby was walking down the hallway because she was so upset with the date and she thought that date would be perfect for her. And then Greer just happened to be sitting in front of Gabby's room. So had to stand up and move so that Gabby could bring her 50 bags into the room. I thought was hilarious.
I was dying to know whether it was staged or not.
How did you stage it? I mean, I think it's like...
Well, they tell her, they're like, go to room 412. And then like she gets there and then they're like, oh, Gabby, I'm sorry. It's this one.
Yeah. Well, still, even if the producers within 2 minutes were smart enough to do that and pull that off, it's brilliant and it's amazing television.
It was good. It was good. And I know that people are rolling their eyes watching Greer respond to this. The fact that she had to leave, you know, the group part, the fact that she's crying about tea because she has a tea tattoo and tea means a lot to her. And I so understand that it seems silly, but I've been in this situation and it's not that silly. Like, imagine your favorite, you're competing for a guy and then you get to experience what you've always wanted to experience with a guy. But then you're not the one experiencing it. It's just a little devastating. It's silly and devastating, but it's this kind of thing that I'm sure Greer was laughing at watching herself last night.
Did you laugh at yourself?
Oh, yeah. But the thing is, I think a lot of people didn't understand that I was totally poking fun at myself. I was being very self-deprecating when I decided to dress up like Cinderella and have like my little mice when Jade was out on the date. Like I was making fun of the whole situation already in the situation. Did I feel extreme envy when she came in for the fitting of the dress and like was putting on the slippers? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm super jealous, but like, I also realized it was just fun. It was like me being fun. And I don't think that Greer necessarily, it was fun envy. I don't know. That's super weird. It's only something you could probably experience on The Bachelor. But
yeah.
She does have a tattoo of tea, like me wanting a princess date. That doesn't seem to be extremely unique. I think like every girl would like to have a princess date, to go shopping, to try on those dresses. It's kind of just like ultimately everybody's a dream date. But with Greer, it was so specific. Like the girl loves tea. Who loves tea like that?
a lot of the customers that buy tea from Generous.
You think you've come across somebody who has a tattoo of a teacup?
No, I've never. I don't have a coffee bean on my leg. Was it the date, Ashley? Or was it the fact that Greer feels so left behind? And there's
both.
So this date could have been any date. You know, any date could have been perfect. This was an incredible date. Like, it had multiple different facets. It looked like a lot of fun. I feel like at this point,
it kept them busy. It kept them having something new to talk about the entire time. And that's what I liked, because I know that sometimes it's like, oh, big activity and then dinner. But this like kind of kept it continuous. And that's what I would have preferred while being on The Bachelor. Anyway, enough of what I prefer.
Well, we care about what you prefer. But I think at this point in the season, we see it every season, where the contestants are starting to feel left behind. They're starting to ask the question, why haven't I gotten the one-on-one yet? Does Zach not really care about me? We had such a good connection 4 weeks ago, but I haven't really seen him since then. What do I do to stand out? And then possibly every week you have somebody telling you, this is your week. This has to be the week that you get the one-on-one. You're going to get the one-on-one this week. This is going to be your time. And so when that card is read and it's not you and you're then on a group date, there is a massive amount of emotion involved. There is, even for, you know, the guys on my season. When I was on Caitlin's season, the guys that weren't getting the dates, at first it's fine and it's cool. And then all of a sudden you start to get kind of confused and sad and wondering, where exactly do I stand? And so I think that's where Greer's at. I think this could have been any date and she would have been just as sad.
Maybe not just as sad, or there'd be like a jealousy factor, like a little bit eased. Anyway, I totally understand what you're saying. Yes. But I also think the more you focalize it, the more the less likely you are to get that one-on-one.
That would have been, yes.
It's great TV when somebody is freaking out.
That's it. Is I would recommend anybody. Here's my tip. I don't know how it happens every time. But if you are somebody who's very upset or jealous or envious, as best as you can, just hold it to yourself. Like, sit through it, smile, sit in that room as she's talking about all the things that they did, just so that you aren't the center of attention, that then they're going to like pull that emotion more out of you and make it a little bit of a bigger deal than you even knew it was. Just stay quiet, sit in it, be there, and then move on.
Yeah, that's great advice, and one that I have a very hard time following. And it's really hard, of course, following that advice when you are a newbie on the show. I think you kind of know better once it's
100%.
Your second or third time around. But yeah, so she doesn't really know what she's doing, but she's making a horrible mistake by vocalizing how bad she feels held back.
Yeah. There's
okay,
just
so, but let's talk about Gabby's connection.
Yeah, I would say this. I'm still keeping with my word. I think there's zero chance that Greer and Zach end up together, especially after how this episode played out.
You know what? I'm going to debate you here.
Good.
I think that she's going to hang around for a long time, and I think there's a reason we didn't see her a lot in the scenes from the next episode. I think they're really trying to psych us out. They're really trying to put us on a wrong path.
I hope I'm wrong. I kind of like Greer. I like that she's emotional. I like that she's telling us how she feels. I don't think it was the smart decision, but I like that it's happening, and I think she does care. We'll talk more about Greer as the episode ends. I kind of feel bad for her. Might be the unpopular opinion, but yeah, we'll move on.
I feel bad for her. I want her to get her chance because there was something there. And I know that we are jumping ahead again, but like, let me just say this. She gets the rose, and I think she gets the rose over the other two girls, Kylie and Mercedes, because Zach's like, okay, I've had such a strong moment with her, and maybe the moments haven't been like, there haven't been a lot of those moments, but I had that moment at some point. So like, hopefully I can get another one like that. But I guess like with the Mercedes and Kylie, he probably just never felt something that intense.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Okay. All right. So Gabby, I think Gabby shoots to the top of my list. I think Gabby goes ahead of Brooklyn now. And I think she's in my top three with Katie, Kat, and herself.
Really?
Yeah, I think he really liked her. I was seeing some tweets and stuff that like they had no chemistry. They didn't have like the sexual chemistry that he had with Kat last week, but they have a good time together. I think he's really looking for that.
Yeah, they had a lot of fun, and she does allow him to be goofy, which he is. He's made that very clear. She did make a comment that I've never heard before, and this might be a new thing, but she goes, "I'm not a kisser, I'm a cuddler."
Cuddler, yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, I think I get more out of, I personally get more at this stage in our relationship from cuddling than kissing. But I do feel like it's a little different when you're at her stage of the relationship, because I think like when it's new, you get more of a chemistry vibe by kissing. And I also think you get more of a reassurance vibe while kissing, because it's just more of a romantic thing.
That's fair. I would like to know anybody that feels like they would be in this stage of the relationship more of a cuddler than a kisser. I would just want to know more about that. I want you to explain that to me. I'm interested in what that exactly, like why cuddling feels intimate to you, why that's what you would be drawn to. You know, it's just interesting when you first meet somebody, there's a physical attraction, there's chemistry, and then you'd be like, I just want to cuddle. Like, don't kiss me, just cuddle. Because that's kind of what I was, like, that's what I was hearing there was, I would much prefer you just cuddle me than I would you kiss me, which feels different than any other situation I've ever heard.
Romantic. It feels like she's craving safety and comfort in that.
Could be.
I think possibly she's thinking about a previous relationship when saying that, because I think when you're in a long-term relationship, cuddling can feel give you a certain level of closeness, and then when it comes right, what do you feel like? You've been with Jess for so long, you've been kissing for, you know, 4 years, so like, would you rather cuddle or kiss?
Well, I asked her this last night. I said, are you a cuddler or a kisser? She goes, I'm both. And I think that's like, yes, that's how we are. Like, it's both. It's, you know, we're not sitting in bed at night and watching Netflix and just making out for, you know, 3 hours. That's not how life works, but you're both, like, both have their own specific place. And that's why I thought the comment was interesting. I've just never compared the two. I've never seen those two things not be aligned in some way.
But very personal question. And this is funny because I talk about this on the I Don't Get It podcast a lot with Naz, because she's never had a super long-term relationship. And she imagines that, like, after being together for 5 years, like me and Jared, that we'd still like just make out on the couch randomly. Do you and Jess, when it's not leading somewhere else, ever just make out for the sake of making out? And then like you just go eat dinner afterward?
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No. I mean, no. We like kiss. Like she just left for work, and I gave her a kiss before
kiss,
she left.
Hello, goodbye, good night, all that. Yeah.
Yeah, but we don't just like teenage, like sit on the couch and make out and then be like, that was awesome. Like, yeah, no. It's not
cool
how life works anymore.
It'd be cool. I'd be down, but it would definitely be like kind of funny. We'd laugh.
Yeah. I think that's cool and a thing when you're like a teenager and it's new and hormones are raging and you're like just
and
any contact
just
with them
starting.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, you're right. Yeah. When you're dating and starting, obviously, like, you know, Jessica and I's situation was different. And so we spent a lot of time just kissing and like sitting on the couch and all that. And so different then, but now it's kind of like, wait, this is not how we're spending our evening. And if it is, like, it's going somewhere.
Okay. All right. So now you understand. Now you understand where she's coming from. I think she's just thinking about a previous relationship and being like,
sure.
Yeah, I'd prefer to snuggle.
It was just an interesting comment.
It was interesting. There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket, you know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pamper Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Should we move on to the group date that was not a date?
Yes, I do have one thing in my notes here I want to bring up.
Okay.
About this situation in general. And I think it's a tell of Zach's.
Okay.
We're able to kind of understand him more now because we've seen more of him. It's interesting to me when Zach chooses to confront, not like confront in like a, hey, you're going home type of way, and when he doesn't. I feel like a comment like that, especially with what we've seen from Zach in terms of his desire to kiss, you know, starting night one, he was kissing and he's been very kissy since then. Mm-hmm. That, you know, Greer again says, hey, to him, something about I can relate a little bit because I had a sales job. I know what she was trying to say there. It did not come off great, but I get what she was trying to do. I feel like that was just a nervous, like awkward comment. She's like, I get what, you know, I had a sales job and I got sick and then it made me nervous and anxious. And he's like, no, it's not at all the same. I'm looking for my wife here. It's like, okay, semantics. Yes, I get what you're saying, Zach. You are taking this very serious. But he confronted that situation. It's interesting to me that he did not confront Gabby on this comment when she said, I'm not really a kisser. Like, we didn't really see much follow-up from that. Maybe we saw one question, but I'm surprised he didn't like dig into that a little bit more, because he has been digging in to some of these comments and these questions throughout the whole season. So it's interesting to me when he chooses to and when he doesn't. That was my comment.
Perhaps he did and we didn't see it.
Sure, but we didn't see it.
But also at the same time, I didn't feel as if there would be a follow-up. I just didn't feel that.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's go on to the group date.
Okay, group date. So there was no group date. The girls went out. They explored London. The complaining was hilarious, but I know it was like complaining. I know how this thing works. You know, they're in interviews and they're saying, how upset are you? Like, is this fun? Like, are you like glad you went out today? And they're like, well, it sucks because Zach's not here. And you're like, and they're like, well, do you feel like it's like even like you think that you should have even done it? And they're like, well, a lot of it kind of feels pointless. You know, I understand how the interview process works and how we get this whole scene of them being like bummed out about Zach not coming. But at the end of the day, like, what do you want from the guy? You know, it was weird. You know what was weird about this was, I want to say one more thing before I go on to what was weird. First, we see the complaining part. Then we see the girl surrender to the fact that Zach's not going to be there and they should make the best of it. And I liked that scene when they're in the bar, they're chugging beers. That was really fun. That's what I would have hoped that they chose to do with the day. And then it got weird when the girls get ready and they look all beautiful and they're at the night portion of the group date and they're hoping Zach's going to show up. And then they get the note that he's not feeling well still. And he's not coming. Now, one, I'd be super frustrated because I would have hyped myself up because I would have known what a big deal it was going to be to see him. I would have planned what I was going to be saying. It's just that anxiety level that you have while preparing for The Bachelor is kind of something. It takes up a lot of mental space. So I would have been annoyed about that. I would have also been annoyed at the fact that they had me get ready so much and look so nice. And then I wouldn't have any man to see it. That would have been frustrating. But the girls were so wacky because they like truly were mad at Zach. Did you notice this? They were mad at him. Like, they're like, I feel stood up. I feel hurt. And it's like, the guy really doesn't feel good. Like, you're not being stood up here.
Few comments. I'd be most upset if I was a woman that I put on a dress that now I can't rewear throughout the season because
exactly.
I don't
exactly. Ah, oh, Ben thinking like a woman. I love it.
Yeah, you only have so much luggage space. I think you're allowed 2 checked bags on the on the travels. And so, how many dresses and outfits can you actually put in there? And keep
you
those
wear the
going.
Good stuff up front. You
yeah,
good stuff up
so I felt bad from there.
Yeah,
I know that's. I hope they wear those dresses again. I would respect them. I would be proud of them if they wore those dresses again. My second,
and I wouldn't remember.
I would have. I mean, I would have no clue. My next is to their benefit and to the viewers' benefit, because if you're following Twitter, people are like, "Wait, Zach doesn't feel good, and he's just leaving these women hanging." At this point, they have no clue what's going on with Zach. All we know as viewers is that he said it. He feels jet lagged and tired. Well, of course you do, buddy. Like, that's what you signed up for. You're going to be tired and jet lagged through the whole season. In fact, you're going to be like eating weird foods through this whole season. Your stomach's going to be jacked up. Your mind's going to be messed up.
Ben Higgins did it with a tapeworm.
So,
okay, a parasite.
Yes. So at this point, now again, this is at this point in the episode of what we know and what we don't know. I'm even as a viewer being like, what is going on with this fella? Like, he needs to get there. He has to go.
Really? This is what you're thinking? You don't know that they're totally dragging out a COVID diagnosis? I feel like they knew the entire time.
Oh, Ashley, I'm in it. Like, I'm in it by moment by moment. I'm just going with what I know. I'm not overanalyzing this from this standpoint. And I've heard Zach now speak to it. So if he thought he had COVID, I thought we would have heard him say, like, I wonder if it's COVID. No, all he said was he's jet lagged and he has like a bunch of crud in his head. Okay, fair enough. You don't want to get the other woman sick? Fair, good. But that's all we know. And so it isn't until the next scene that we find out he has COVID. So I get that the women are upset because I'm assuming they're getting even less information about Zach's illness than we are as viewers. They just know Zach doesn't feel good. And so they're hearing this and they're like, does he not care to come? Now, their reaction of he's standing us up is a little overblown. Like, he's not standing you up. You have to assume the best, expect the best out of this guy. He, you know, there's a lot of you there. He probably wants to be there. So he's not trying to be a jerk here. There's no really no room even for him to be a jerk as the bachelor. Like, he has to go on these dates, even if he doesn't want to go on this date. And so you're assuming the best. And so I, at that point, once he didn't show up to the cocktail party, there, I assume there's more to the story. So here's my conclusion. Yes, I think they probably were upset. They probably didn't know a lot about the situation. We knew more as viewers than they knew as contestants at this point. I did find it a little odd that none of the women there, at least none of the women we heard from, had any concern about Zach's health. Like, not one of them was like very like concerned about, is he doing okay? They all just kind of like, the only people we heard from at least were all kind of on the camp of like, this dude just stood us up. I got stood up this morning and I got it stood up tonight. That's interesting to me that that's where they, their minds jump to. I don't know if it tells you how they feel about Zach, what they expect out of Zach, but at least it tells you kind of where they're at in the process and what they're feeling about the process.
I feel like there's some things chopped out because on this show these days, you have to, I don't think you have, you don't have to quarantine in your room for like days beforehand, but their COVID protocols are wild to the point of Jared and I were visiting LA a couple weeks ago and we went to have lunch with two of the producers. And then there was another producer that was like up in his office and they're like, wave to him. You know, he's gonna like get on the phone. We wave to him through the glass. And I was like, this is ridiculous. Let's just go up there and I'll just say, like, so he can meet Dawson and we'll just say hi for like 10 minutes in the office. And they're like, no, you'd have to get tested before going into the office. Like, that's how insane the protocols are. And then there's, they can't like have a certain amount of meetings. Like, you can have like 5, 6, 7 people in a meeting room. But if the meeting's beyond that, then they have to sit in their office on Zoom when the other person is in the office next to them. That's how like tight their protocols still are on The Bachelor. So if I were these girls, and they maybe they're suggesting it and questioning it as well, but we don't see it because they wouldn't add that into the edit. But I'm sure most of the girls are saying, like, he's got COVID. You guys, you know he has COVID. You know he has COVID, and they're not risking things. And that's, yeah, I'm assuming that there's chatter about that. However, Ben, yes, you do say that it's weird that the girls don't mention, like, how he's doing. I would have assumed that if The Bachelor is not going on dates, he must be really freaking sick. Like, he must really not feel good. Because that's never happened before. As a fan, you know, you've never seen it before. And you know the Bachelors must have been sick. And, like, look at you. You were diarrheaing the entire time. But you showed up. So I'm saying this guy must have been ill to not go on these dates.
Well, they're probably over. They're probably more sensitive to illness today than they were during my time, obviously, because of COVID. I don't, you know, I don't know and understand, nor am I really care of how strict they are with their COVID policies now. I do find like that would be weird, right? That's different than how we're functioning in the normal world. And so that is interesting that
it's a studio thing, you know, it's not like a, we all know it's like a thing. It's overarching.
To flash forward then, because the next segment here is when we do find out Zach has COVID. Jesse tells the women he has COVID. The reaction is, you know, is more like solemn, like melancholy, like people are starting to understand and feel, it seems like they're worried about him. You know, they're then told that they're gonna have this virtual cocktail party. There's some things I want to talk about there because that was super interesting. It was really honestly interesting that they even decided to do it for the show. So to your point of how strict they are about COVID policies, okay, And everybody has their own opinions on this. Like,
I hope I'm not being too revealing by saying that. But these girls are getting like tested every day too. I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Still.
So
that I'm not 100% sure.
No matter how you feel about the vaccine and the boosters, you know, that gets into some political, some like religious, some like just own personal feelings. No matter how you feel about COVID in general, like let's just, for the sake of this conversation, let's all agree that COVID is a thing. Okay. That's a thing. It's a, it's something that causes people to get sick. Okay. That's, we have to start at this foundation just for the sake of this conversation. Okay. If you want to argue with me on that later, great. But for the sake of this conversation, COVID is a thing that makes people sick. And with you mentioning how strict the show is on their guidelines and on the testing requirements and on how safe they are, it's very interesting to me. Not that Zach got COVID, who knows how he did it, but that there isn't really any, like they still went on a group date. Like if they were that concerned about Zach having COVID and the fact that he was making out with Gabby the night before.
Exactly. Why aren't they making the girls isolate?
And Gabby is in the room with all of these women. Then that's where I'm, that's when my analysis of the show starts kicking in. And I go, did they really think Zach was that sick? Like, did the show really expect him to have COVID? Because if they did, there is zero chance in my mind with how strict they are that they would have allowed all these women to go out on this group date around the city and into bars and onto buses and be in the general public amongst each other if they had any concern that COVID was spreading amongst their set. That's, and we never, I don't know.
Do you think they lied? He didn't have it?
Well, you would say that, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you would say with the Logan situation down in Paradise, you're still confused on if he had COVID or not. Zach was sick.
Rumor has it that Logan had COVID. They didn't tell anyone and he wasn't allowed back on the boat.
Yeah. So with Zach, I do think, I mean, I'm going to assume he had COVID. Like, I think he did. I don't think he felt good. I don't think he wanted to lay in his hotel room in London. I don't know why he wouldn't want to see these women. Maybe he was just tired, but that would be like best case scenario. I'm assuming he has COVID. I don't know why the show would make it anything other than that. There's no benefit to them doing virtual cocktail parties. There's no like benefit there unless Zoom had a massive deal to, you know, on the show.
I don't even think they didn't even say Zoom. They didn't. Yeah. So.
And so I'm just confused on how the process played out logistically amongst the women, because we didn't see any of that. It just felt like everybody went on as business as usual, like Zach didn't exist and that Zach had no contact with these women. I honestly, like, I am not at a place to argue what was right and wrong. I don't know. I just found it interesting and I found it odd with how strict they are that the show just kept going.
Yeah, I guess they're like, what are we supposed to do? I think the most puzzling thing is that they're just cool with having Gabby around. You would have thought at least quarantine Gabby. I don't know. Again, like, I don't know. I don't want to quarantine, you know. These are like young, healthy people. But yes, according to how strict they've been, I'm surprised. Anyway, moving on, let's talk about the digital. Let's talk about the digital cocktail party, which when he suggested it, I thought it was going to be like in lieu of a group date. I thought this is a cocktail party, not necessarily the pre-rose cocktail party. I, again, audibly responded when I heard that it would be ending with the rose ceremony. I was like, this is wild.
It's intense. Wild. We should all be good at it now, though. Like, Zoom dates should be very good common in this generation. Dating. Yeah, we've all done it. We've all, you know, FaceTime. We Zoomed over COVID. We made connections over COVID. Yeah, sure. They should be good at it.
Yeah, but you know it's awkward. I don't know how people did do this. Like, I don't know how people go on first dates and stuff without being in the same room. I find myself always being more at a loss for conversation when I'm over a screen, even though hilariously we do a podcast over it. But it's when you're meeting people for the first time, you know, when you have like a friend and then they're FaceTiming their friend and they're like, say hi, meet my friend. And you're like, hi, I got no idea what to say to you. But in person, it would just come way more naturally.
Sure. Okay. Well, that's fair. I will say there is something that was brought up that I've never publicly told anybody. Somebody, I forget who, said that they feel weird on this virtual group date because, or virtual cocktail party because they can only see Zach and they can't see themselves. I find myself, I sit on Zoom meetings most of the day. I work from home. And so I probably have four or five meetings on Zoom or on some type of virtual platform a day. And
you always look at yourself.
I'm always finding myself looking at myself. I don't know if it's just less awkward. I don't know. I mean, I don't even know if I'm looking at myself. I'm just more looking in the direction of myself because it feels more comfortable. And Zach kind of responded
Greer
like that.
Said this.
Yeah. Zach responded like it was weird.
Didn't like it.
Yeah.
Zach thought it was like conceited.
Yeah. So like, I would be very open to anybody telling me any issues with myself. Maybe I'm conceited and maybe I'm the only one other than Greer in the world that doesn't find that weird. But I do it. I do.
Of course we do. And right now you're speaking to me sideways. So you're just,
well, I don't even see you
speaking into the phone sideways like this.
Yeah.
So,
am I the only
one?
You're
definitely not looking at me in that case. So, but no, you're not weird right now. Currently, without even thinking about our conversation topic, I'm looking at myself while talking. I think I look at you when you're talking and then I look at myself when I'm talking.
Yeah. So why did Zach have such a problem with this? Is he just that? Are we seeing?
He's sassy.
He is because he was sassy again with Greer when she was trying to say something nice and relate with him. So here is my comment going back to before. Is he just kind of, he kept her around, but is he just getting like annoyed by her? It seems like he is.
Yeah. He just doesn't like her right now. Yeah. I don't know. He was scary with her. I would have been like, I'm going to self-eliminate.
I mean, I sense that she was so worried she wasn't going to get a rose, but once she got the rose, she felt like she was right back in the game.
Well, she should feel like that. She should feel pretty powerful having such a crappy moment and then being able to rebound from it or have him be like still interested enough to like really give her the chance that she's been craving. I felt bad for her. He was being cold. And we know that he's like this. Like, I'm not saying he's a cold guy, but he can be cold. He can be blunt. Like, every time somebody's like, I'm feeling this way. Like, he doesn't sugarcoat it. He's like, you know what? I'm feeling that way too. And that can be, like, intimidating, I feel like. People don't really know how to respond to bluntness like that sometimes. They're usually, like, taken aback. And I would have been taken aback. Like the fact that he like wasn't giggling, like I think we'd all try to make the other person feel better in like the moment where like you and I just had the conversation about like where we look when we're on a video chat. And it was like kind of like fun, you know, it's not funny, ha 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 ha, but it's like, you know, a little bantery. And then you like kind of can make fun of the other person, but he didn't like make fun of her in like a lighthearted way. And then this thing about her comparing him finding a wife to her last quarter sales and her trying to relate. And yes, it not being, of course, as serious of a matter, but you know, in her heart, she was just trying to relate and start a conversation. Mm-hmm. And he didn't like it. So what do you think?
Well, I think if Kat would have said the same thing, he would have been cool with it.
Exactly.
Yeah, he'd been fine. I mean, it's telling to me that he's just not into it. You know, those kind of comments get, you know this, like you're married and people out there listening are married or in a serious relationship. If these types of comments are going to throw you off, like it's going to be a long road in a relationship. Like these things get said every day. Like I say something stupid to Jessica when I'm trying to relate with her or I'm trying to explain a situation to her. She says something to me that like is like, what? Like, what are you talking about? Like you just... Yeah. You have to just like deal with it. We're humans. We're saying weird stuff and we're trying, and especially in a situation where it's very uncomfortable in general.
Especially one, it's uncomfortable. You're on The Bachelor. You're talking to somebody for the first few times on camera. Secondly, you've been thrown with this. You're going to talk via screen.
Yes.
And then you'll be on camera. This is such an awkward situation that you're going to have like that nervous energy where you just say stupid things to fill the void.
100%. And so I think it was, I just think it's telling that he's not that into her, honestly. And that's okay if he's not, I mean, he doesn't have to be, but I just think it's telling that he's not that into her, because if you were into somebody, you would either laugh it off or be like, wait, tell me that again. Like you're crazy. Like you stare at yourself on camera. I've never done that. Like
exactly.
Like you would just play with it a little bit. because that's just humans being humans trying to communicate with each other in a very weird environment. And so, I just think he's not that into her. And that's why I have my theory that I don't think she's going to be around much longer.
Well, then why do you think that, like, he didn't choose Kylie over her? Because he seemed to be enjoying Kylie.
It's a good question. I think there's more to Greer to figure out. I think there's a side of him maybe where he's going, Greer and I's conversation was so awkward and weird, and we've had such a good history that I can't just say goodbye like this to her. But yet, like, I know Kylie and Mercedes aren't my wife, and so I can say goodbye to them. I feel like we're on good terms. But Greer, I'd like to try to do this in person. That's why I think next week, if I had to bet on it, I think Greer is going home, and I think it's going to happen by him having a conversation with her in person.
I can see the in-person thing feeling like the appropriate move for him.
Yeah.
Especially since you got the first
one. It was just weird. It was a weird, I mean, and do I think Greer's like relatability there was off? Yes. I don't think your sales quarter and you're finding your wife are the same thing. I think probably Zach is extra sensitive, as we've seen, to this and to this situation being very important to him. I think he's holding that very close to his chest, and I think it is important to him. I think it should be important to him. So I do think she probably upset him a bit, and he probably felt like you don't get it kind of thing. It was just probably what he wanted to say, really, was you just don't get it, do you? Like, you don't get how important this is to me. But I think she was just trying to be sweet. And I think she was just trying to be relatable. That's why I would say that reaction was a little bit harsh. But if he's not into her, we'll find out.
I think the normal, okay, maybe normal is not the right word. But I think the reaction that you and I would probably have would be like, wait, what? Are you telling me that you think your last quarter and this is the same thing? It's like, I appreciate you kind of coming up with something relatable, but like, you know, something a little bit more. Or like, no, that's not
hindsight.
The same.
But hindsight,
something like that.
But hindsight is always better. And we, you know, we can sit here and be armchair experts and say, this is what we would have done. I think if it was somebody I wasn't into, and I was just kind of annoyed by in general, just for whatever reason, I probably would have been like, yeah, I might have had the same reaction as Zach.
You know what, Ben? Thank you for correcting me, because now I'm trying to think of it being somebody that I'm just over.
Yeah.
Ugh, like, I don't like you anymore. Or I'm on the fence about you, and then you said it. I would have also been like that, too. I know myself. I just took myself back to dating. Whenever I was like on a third date with somebody and I was trying to figure out whether or not this was really worth exploring, and then they did something like that, I'd be like, ugh, grossed out. Or as they call it today, the ick.
The ick. Well, my guess is, I mean, I'm saying it, I don't think Greer is around past next week, which is unfortunate. We haven't got to see a ton from the woman who got the first impression rose.
Except for in this episode, we got to see her a ton without her.
Yeah, not the best look, though. Ashley, to close out, Mercedes and Kylie did go home. The rest of them are staying. The scenes for the future episodes do look very interesting to me. It does go back to our first assumption after seeing the preview, is that something happens that shocks his world and that rocks the women's world. We see Zach apologizing, which is a big deal. We've seen it a few times now from the leads. We can go back to Clayton when he was apologizing. But we see Zach apologizing, which I think is a very big deal. He's apologizing for something that wrecks some relationships. And right now we don't really know what that is. We're getting a hint that he is intimate with somebody in outside of kind of the normal format, and that really upsets some people. Could be that. We saw that with Clayton. But then the rest of the season does look emotional. We're getting into kind of the nitty gritty of this season, where it starts to get very interesting, where relationships are really blossoming. Those that blossom sometimes don't work out, and that pulls at our heartstrings. It pulls at Zach's heartstrings. It pulls at the women's heartstrings. So a lot to look forward to coming up. But it leads me to my, and you've kind of already answered it, but we just to be clear, Ashley, after seeing this episode, moving into the next week's episode, who are your top three for Zach?
Like I said at the top of the show, we got Katie, Kat, and surprisingly now Gabby. I will say that if there's drama with anyone in the future, it looks like it will be Kat, according to this snippet from the scenes from the next episode.
It's going
to
break that boy's heart. Okay, my top three for Zach at this point are Kat, still Brooklyn, and Charity.
Kat, Brooklyn, and Charity. Okay. Yeah. Yep, I can agree with that. I would probably put Charity at four right now.
Yeah, I think she's still there. I don't think we got to see a ton from her, but I think she's just, I don't think we're seeing a ton from her because she's going to be a big player on this season, and she's going to be around a long time.
I think we've seen a decent amount from her for somebody who hasn't had a one-on-one yet.
Sure, sure. I would imagine a one-on-one's coming.
Yeah. All right, Bachelor headlines after this break?
Yeah, right after this break. Really, I want to say, though, Ashley, with our top three, well, there's a lot of women that we feel like have strong relationships.
I know.
Because we didn't even mention Ariel. We did not. I mean, I didn't mention Gabby. I didn't mention Katie. And so if we add ours together, most of the women left, we feel like have a chance with Zach, which is interesting for this point in the season. That's typically not the case. And so, there's going to be some deep formed relationships. I like it. I like this.
That's why I thought this was a particularly engaging episode, because I really didn't know what was going to happen at the rose ceremony. And I really don't know what's going to happen in the future. And it's kind of exciting to have so many front runners and not like one horse. You know what I mean?
One horse in the game. All right. Bachelor headlines are coming up right after this break.
There's nothing like having a clean space. I can't say that I have it a ton with a toddler, but when I do, it's magical. And I also love it when I can add a little bit of my own sort of favorite candle, favorite scent, favorite throw blanket. You know, just express your personal style while the space is perfectly clean. Well, that's where Clorox Scentiva comes in, because Clorox have these clean scents that'll fit your vibe. With coconut, grapefruit, or lavender, you can discover your own signature scent. It's clean, so it's that trusted clean that you know that you get with Clorox, and it's captivating with scents that just can speak to you. With a powerful, clean, and refreshing scent, Clorox Scentiva cleans like Clorox and feels like confidence. Get yours now at a retail store near you. Diaper duty. It's the adventure no one warns you about when you're expecting, right? Well, fear not. Pampers Swaddlers features a blowout barrier at the back waist that helps prevent up to 100% of leaks, even blowouts. Not only are Pampers Swaddlers total game changers, they have the hottest baby gift trend for 2024, the Pampers Diaper Stash, an online diaper fund where friends and family can contribute a group gift so that your diaper stockpile never runs out. I love this idea. Here's how it works. You create a diaper stash account, share it with your tribe, watch the stash grow, gift it to the parents, and voila. They use the stash funds to snag Pampers diapers and wipes anywhere, anytime. It's not just a gift. It's a stash of joy. Ensuring that those parents-to-be are stocked up without the guesswork. So whether you're a parent in the trenches or the ultimate gift guru, make 2024 the year of leak-free happiness. Pampers Swaddlers and the Diaper Stash. Because parenting should be an extraordinary journey, not a messy one.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bachelorette alum Eric, who dated and was with Gabby at the end of their season, is dating model Elizabeth Turner after the split from Gabby. Ashley, I mentioned to you that this is shocking to me because years ago, before on Jessica,
podcast,
on this podcast, yeah, you asked, who is my celebrity crush? And I said, Elizabeth Turner.
Yeah.
So this is weird to me, like very odd that this is happening, because I think I said even then, I was like, I don't think a lot of people know her. She's like a model and I never had any contact with her. So then I see Eric's dating her, and I'm like, that's a weird full circle moment for me.
Okay. So Eric seems to be dating her. Eric, as in Gabby's Eric. Eric. Sure. He posted something on it. She posted something on Valentine's Day. And he reposted it. It was a picture of the two of them kissing, and it said Valentine Day underneath it. So I think we can say that they're in a committed relationship. A couple months ago, he said to OK Magazine after he and Gabby broke up that he wants to find his best friend, someone he can vibe with every day, a partnership where they can lean and support each other through the highs and lows, someone who's open to adventure, but also for the occasional White Lotus binge in one sitting, and a fiery romance, because at the end of the day, I'm a hopeless romantic. So we don't really know much more about their relationship, but she's a model. She is signed with One Management in New York City. She has about a million Instagram followers. And it's a girl that has a little bit of a track record in Bachelor Nation. If you Google her name, it'll pop up that she also had a something something perhaps with Tyler Cameron. And didn't you say there was someone else?
Rumor is she dated Leonardo DiCaprio.
Oh, yeah. Maybe not Bachelor Nation, but even bigger than that. Leo. So what? All right. What's our next headline, Ben?
That's a big headline. That's an interesting one. I did not expect Eric to be popping up with somebody that had dated Leonardo DiCaprio. That that was not on the bingo card this year. The Bachelor Brooklyn speaks out after revealing she was in an abusive relationship. If you listen to our episode where she spoke about this with Zach, there's a lot of courage in her statement. And now she's speaking out after the show to the public.
Yeah. So she got on Instagram after last week's episode. She said, I'm so overwhelmed with the outpouring of love and support from everyone. It does not go unnoticed, and it is even more appreciated than anyone will ever know.
Well, still just a ton of courage by Brooklyn. And it was a big deal for so many. And so many reacted in such a way of relatability and support for Brooklyn. Well, switching gears a little bit, there's a battle going on amongst reality television dating shows. The headline is this: Nick Lachey says it doesn't get, and I quote, more authentic than Love is Blind after shade by Bachelor host Jesse Palmer.
All right, Ben, this sounds a little bit, the headline is a little bit juicier than the actual quotes are here. I don't even think that Jesse really shaded him at all. That's just like one of those words that tabloids love to use to make it more clickbait, right? Okay, so this is what Nick said. He said, I don't think it gets more authentic than Love is Blind. The whole premise of the show is authenticity. It's getting to know someone for their true self, their real self, and then introducing the physical. So certainly a different angle into finding love. I would argue that Love is Blind is probably the most authentic dating show we've ever seen that ends at the altar, in my opinion. I understand how it seems like Nick is maybe shading the show there a little bit, especially when he says the show ends at the altar. Because can you think of any other dating show that ends at the altar besides The Bachelor and Love is Blind? Jesse's response is The Bachelor was first. I think a big part of The Bachelor is authenticity and really trying to get back to what the core of the show has always been about and what it's supposed to be about. So it sounds like there's a little bit of a battle of authenticity in reality TV, but I don't think any feelings are hurt here.
Next headline is this: ABC, and this blew up my Instagram this week with tons of messages from you all asking what I thought. I knew nothing about it, but ABC denies reports they're considering bringing back Chris Harrison to save The Bachelor and replace Jesse Palmer. As in, I quote here, the show is on life support 2 years after racism scandal sent Chris packing with a $10 million payoff.
All right. I saw these rumors swirling on social media last week, and I think some of us may have gotten a little bit excited to hear that there may have been a chance at Chris coming back, but ABC squashed the rumor within hours. Don't have much info about it. All I can say is that there's an insider out there that says that everyone is aware that The Bachelor is on life support. And I guess out of just that statement, a lot of people were like, the best way to spark the show back to life would be to have Chris back. And maybe it got out of hand, but ABC is denying that there are any plans to bring him back.
Final headline of the day: Emily Ferguson shares stunning maternity photos. In 13 weeks, we will be holding our beautiful baby boy.
Aw, these are the cutest pictures ever. You have to check out Emily Ferguson Carlson's Instagram. I can't believe the baby is going to be due in about 13 weeks. It's crazy, but it's so beautiful. Emily and her husband, definitely go and check it out. Emily says she's not having that pregnancy glow as I insisted, and everybody knows that I did not have, but she does look stunning. And you can see other Bachelor Nation comments underneath there, like from Kendall Long, who says, absolutely glowing, babe. And then Emily's sister says, Mom and Dad, I cannot handle. So definitely go check out those pictures. They're adorable.
What a cool time. Marriages are forming, babies are being born, life is continuing, and yes, The Bachelor is as well. Next week, we'll be breaking down another episode of this season right here on the Almost Famous Podcast. You can count on it. Ashley and I will be here, and I'm intrigued for the rest of this season. But until then, I've been Ben.
I've been Ashley. See y'all. Bye.
Follow the Ben and Ashley I, Almost Famous Podcast on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.